Hello everyone, welcome to episode 18 of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends, the podcast where I talk to people much more interesting than myself. I'm live here today in Newry, I'm not sure if you can hear that, in a very, very squeaky chair. So hopefully that won't be an issue during the podcast. But I'm joined today by a local journalist and a bit of a legend around the town, Garth McCullough.
Thanks very much for that introduction, Darren. Legend about the town. Leave it a local journalist, that'll do.
Oh, fine. I think you're a legend, that's okay.
Thanks.
And it's my podcast, so my opinion matters.
That it does.
That's right. How are you today?
I'm good. Good to see you. Haven't seen you in a while.
I know. So, Garth, we'll do your CV first. What's your official title?
My official title? There's a few unofficial ones, but no. Sports editor of the Newry Reporter. So, I'm sure everybody knows the Newry Reporter. I'm sure a lot of people know that I'm sports editor. And either like me or don't like me, but there you go.
A lot of people have been in the Reporter.
Yeah.
Births, marriages, deaths. Court cases.
Gigs.
Like, gigs. Yeah. Hopefully that's all I've been in for.
Yeah. I haven't seen you. I think we didn't cover your court appearance, whatever day that was.
I used to always joke about that with my granny, God rest her, when she was alive. She used to say, I saw you in the Reporter. And I was like, oh, was it the drink driving thing? She'd be like, what? Which is probably not a good thing to do to an old woman with a weak heart. But it was fun at the time. But so you're sports editor. How long are you here?
What will it be, 2020? So this summer it'll be 13 years since I started here. 13 years.
Wow. Fair enough. But you don't just work here, that's the thing.
No, well, I do a lot of freelance stuff for the likes of the Belfast Telegraph, Irish News, The Sun. I know it might not appeal to a whole lot of people. The newsletter, basically all the national titles. Have done bits and pieces of the BBC and UTV as well. So get your name out there, and that's probably doesn't do us any harm in here. You know, if you're one of your journalists is out on a more national scale, you know.
Is that sports only, or are you covering all news?
No, sports only.
Sports only?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one I'm reading about something that I probably half know about. Okay, I'm coming to news. No, that's me. I'm finished completely. Like, you know what I mean? There's no point in lying.
Is there anything, like, what's been the strangest event you've had to go to?
Ooh.
No, don't say my Battle of the Bands, please.
That was the top of my list, to be fair.
That's all
right. Just to drop in. Yeah, I used to cover entertainments in the paper, of which this is how I got to know your good self, for those who don't know. And we will be bringing back an entertainments page in the next couple of weeks in the Reporter. So
brilliant.
I expect you to put yourself forward for an interview and talk nonsense in the paper once
again. There's stuff on in Newry.
Correct. What's the strangest thing I've done? Well, probably the funniest one, and this is when I used to work for the Newry Democrat. So you're talking 2004, 2005, and it was a Battle of the Bands, but it wasn't your Battle of the Bands. It was one of those, I think it may be a Guinness one or other stout is available. Yeah. And it was in what would have been O'Dowd's at the time.
Okay.
And Black Alley Screens, now Young Aviators, now whatever they're called, they're not going anymore, but
yeah,
they were playing, good mates of mine, and they're playing one of the heats. They're also playing with a band called Brutal.
Oh yeah. I was at this Battle of the Bands. I was helping with that.
Yeah.
We played in that. Yeah.
So now the sound wasn't great. As tends to be, which was fine. I was down sort of doing a review of it.
I was probably doing the sound.
Well, that would make a whole lot more sense now, to be honest.
It wasn't me. Yeah.
But I did my review of it. I was actually flying off my mum was living in England at the time, so I was going to see her the next morning. Had a few beers with the Black Alley Screens boys afterwards. Wrote up my review the next morning before I went. And as it was a couple of days later when the paper came out, we had a picture of Black Alley Screens in it, from outside the venue. People come out next week. As I was coming back from Birmingham, I got a phone call from the then deputy editor of the Democrat, who shall remain nameless, but I'm sure if you know your deputy editors, you'll be able to work it out. And he said, hey, there's a guy in here looking to speak to you. He's not particularly happy. And I was like, what do you mean? He says, it's about your Battle of the Bands review. And he says, right, I just wrote, I didn't criticise anybody, you know. And he says, he's not happy with the headline. And he's like, what do you call him? Because I didn't get his name, but I have his number. So, long story short, it transpired it was the lead singer of Brutal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand what he was irate about, because I had said, you praised him, everything else. And it turned out that the then deputy editor had put the headline on the article of Truly Brutal Result.
Right.
Which obviously implied that it was a disgrace that they had won it, and
not a play on words.
No, it was a it was a horrendous play on words. So I got the grief for it. Fair enough to, and I really wish I could remember his name. He came in, the guy from Brutal, and I explained to him, and he was sound as a pound. It was all sorted. Once I explained to him, it was nothing to do with me. I wrote the words. See all the words apart from the headline and the caption. I wrote those. I didn't write the big massive. It was a full page article and the picture of Black Alley screens, which he wasn't chuffed about. And I was like, well, you weren't about to get a photograph at the time. So anyway, that was probably the most random one I've been involved in. So thankfully I moved on to sport and you get less hassle, you know.
I think a lot of people maybe don't know that about journalists, is that you don't write your headlines or your bylines.
Some you do. Some you do. I would say probably more in the Nationals you don't. You know, because the sub-editors are designing.
That's someone else's job, yeah. It has to fit.
And generally, because they're working for a national paper, they generally know what they're doing and don't go out to completely sink your career.
Yeah.
I'm sure some do though. From that perspective, needless to say, I had a few choice words for the person that did it, and if he's listening to this, he knows who he is. And there's a potential he could be listening to this.
I like all this journalistic training has showed you, like, you know, I don't want to say anything libelous, I don't want to be slandering.
Oh yeah,
that's great, because normally I would just be like, do you know who's a wanker?
None of that story was allegedly this or allegedly that all happened.
Supposedly.
In terms of I suppose there's been you don't really get weird sort of stories in sport, but you do, because sport is more sort of opinion based. I'd be writing a match report and maybe be doing player ratings and rating the referee and stuff. You have to have a bit of a thick skin, and I have a thick skin physically, but in terms of, you know, sort of mentally, you do come in for a bit of stick, but it's part of the job. You know what I mean?
Okay, and it's coming into the season now. You've got football to cover, mm-hmm. which runs right through the year, and then you've got National League. So mm-hmm. where did I see you were the other day? Where were you?
I was in Clonmel in Tipperary.
Quite the spin.
Down playing Tipperary. Decided a few of the guys were going down for a few beers on Saturday night, match being the Sunday. So we thought, quaint wee Irish pub, Clonmel would be very small.
Clonmel's massive.
It's like one street. Yeah, we got down there and went, Clonmel's bigger than Newry.
Yeah.
You know, I know Newry's not exactly a mecca, you know, or anything like that. But it was great crack. Lovely people. Went to the match the next day. I have to say, possibly the worst county ground I've ever had the misfortune of being in my entire life.
Yeah.
Facilities, I put up a tweet that the facilities were primitive, and I think I was being extremely polite.
I know, because I thought Tipperary played in Turles, but well, maybe they only let the hurlers use that.
They do. The footballers been playing in Semple Stadium in Turles.
Semple's great.
Yeah, the hurlers played there, I think, the night before on Saturday.
So they won't let two games on weekend.
No, I think it was a case of, I was told that they'd built a stand in Clonmel, so therefore could qualify as a county ground. So they decided to bring down to the southerlymost point of Tipperary. I walked across the pitch at the end of the game, and honestly, I've seen smaller potholes on back roads, going out in South Armagh, to be quite honest, or any other part of the area, just to be clear. But the pitch was horrendous.
You could say it was rougher than a back road in Cavan.
Fair enough. That would be a fair enough analogy.
So you end up being sent everywhere. So there's no real, it's definitely not Monday to Friday journalism, is it?
No, and certainly not sports journalism. I mean, you know, you could end up being working 7 days a week. Now, I also get, hopefully, if time allows, you'll get time and leave back during the week and things like that. But just to quash a myth, I don't get paid specifically any extra to go to matches. People always say to me, you know, you come in for a pint, going, no, they won't cover a match here. And I was like, I really couldn't be bothered, like, you know, which does happen. And I said, sure, on about, you get paid through it. Think of the money you're getting. Like, I don't get paid any extra.
Like, I'm not the ref. I don't get paid to show up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I, you know, obviously, you know, players don't get paid. So in that point, you could be working 7 days a week, maybe not necessarily full days, you could be travelling here and there, but as part of the fun of it, the only thing about it is that I can't remember the last time I went to watch an actual game where I wasn't working on it. I wouldn't say you lose your love for the sport, but you lose the sort of, the actual fan aspect of it sometimes.
Well, once anything becomes a job, it's harder to be... Yeah. Like, I sometimes watch comedy gigs, and I don't laugh, but I go, okay, it's brilliant. And they're like,
yeah,
why weren't you laughing? I was really looking into what he was doing.
Is that where people, if people don't laugh whenever you're up on stage, it's just because you're not funny?
No, it's because I'm they just don't get it, man. That's what it is.
All right, yeah, yeah.
They're just not picking up what I'm putting down.
No, it's but from a, I mean, it's a great job. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't change it for anything.
There's definitely worse things you could be doing.
Definitely.
I used to work on a building site. I'd rather be a journalist.
Well, I mean, if there's any openings for you, I'll let you know. If with your building site experience, it could be invaluable.
Exactly. But one of the things, now you just said it's hard to do it, or it's hard to forget how to be a fan, kind of thing.
Yeah.
One of the things you do have to cover is you have to go follow your favourite football team and write about them. Is that weird? Because you're a big Newry City man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure anybody that knows me or knows of me probably knows that the family history we have with Newry City, Newry Town, in their various guises.
Yeah.
You know, I always love telling people how my grandfather was the person that organised the transfer of Pat Jennings from Newry to Watford. And, you know, I'm not in any way suggesting that my granddad started Pat Jennings' career, because I think he was going to be brilliant regardless. But it's a nice thing to do. And whenever, I have to say, whenever my granddad passed away, Pat phoned up and he's a notoriously quiet man, and he wanted to do a piece about my granddad, which was sort of quite touching. But yeah, I mean, it's so tough going to watch your own team, and you know, it really, you're getting paid for it, you know, it's tough going.
at least you don't miss games.
But. Yeah, well, I mean, as anybody probably, whenever Newry got promoted to the Premiership just under 2 years ago, there was a famous photograph in the second leg of the playoff away to Carrick. So Newry were 3-2 up in the first leg. Carrick went 1-0 up in the second leg, so it's level in aggregate. Newry then got a penalty, and at that point, because the match was on a Wednesday night, our paper was already out, so it wasn't going to be in the paper till the next week. The national papers and broadcasters asked me to cover it for them, and I point blank refused, because they said, if Newry get promoted, I'm not sitting in the press box typing up a report saying it's a deadline, I want to be in the pitch celebrating. So I stood with the supporters, excuse me, and Stephen Hughes scored the penalty, and there's a photograph which was the main photograph on the BBC Sport NI.
I've seen this photograph
of he came running over to me, him and Thomas McCann, one of the players midfield, and basically all of us with our arms wrapped around each other, and me being basically the least objective journalist you've ever seen. But the good thing about it is like, I'll go and cover Warren Point Town matches, and Warren Point, yes, I suppose in geographical terms, are the biggest rival, if you like. I mean, and it's good that they have played each other competitively the last couple of years. The boys up there, I want them to win as much as, well, not quite as much as want Newry to win, let's be honest. But, you know, I like to see them doing well as well. And they totally understand that I'm a Newry fan.
Yeah.
And that I'm never going to love Warren Point to the same level of love Newry, but I have a lot of friends up in Warren
Point. There's a locality to it.
You're pushing them on. It's not sort of like, I don't know, I'm not a scumbag. You know, I do get a bit of stick, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, maybe I'm a scumbag. So that's just the way it goes.
You're from Newry. It's the main allocation straight away. Where people go to me, where are you from? Like, Newry. Like, hey. Saying that, I'm only from Newry when it suits me. So it's okay.
Oh, yeah. That's mainly Bessbrook, is it?
I was born in Newry, so.
Yeah.
But one of the fun things and the stick I like to beat them with is, I do jokes about it on stage, not a lot of people know about Newry being divided down the middle,
mm-hmm,
by the river. So I would always say to people, anybody who's being from Bessbrook, I'm an Armagh man, anybody in this side of the river would be Down fans.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like this, I'm just like, where were you born? I'm like, Newry. I'm like, Daisy Hill Hospital? Yeah. Born in Armagh, mate, sorry.
Well, it's like the famous Down Armagh thing. Cormac Campbell, who I'm sure a lot of people know, he used to work here, now working for BBC, and he's on the TV quite regularly, which is quite a shame, because he's a great face for radio.
Yeah.
He was one of the first ones to sort of really publicise the fact that Park Esler, obviously Down's home county ground, one corner of it, of about, you know, 4 square feet, is actually an Armagh. And that's made him being a Down fan, that's made him slightly the enemy of a lot of other Down fans,
yeah,
for publicising that. But, yeah.
But no, I mean, it's funny as well, because I mean, anytime Armagh plays Down in Park Esler, to me it's a home game, because it's closer for me to come to Newry than it is to go to Armagh.
Yeah, that's true.
Even though it's only 20 minutes of it.
Yeah, right enough. Fair point.
But leading on from the Newry thing, what I wanted to say to you is, with your connection to the club as well, and one of the things I wanted to talk to you about this, was you ended up producing an entire documentary with Ali.
Mm.
So Ali McKenzie, who's a very talented filmmaker, who I'm going to get on this as well.
Yeah, make sure you do.
Yourself and Ali ended up recording a doc over how many years? How long did it take?
It was one full season.
One full season?
It took us a couple of a full year. It was obviously a season's only like 9 months. So it took us a full year. One of the best things. I mean, it was a labour of love for me, and we didn't make a penny from it. Everything, you know, we did it on a shoestring budget. It was born out of a conversation over a coffee where I was literally just about to start to write a book on Newry, and you know, then with the idea that it would finish off when they got to the Premiership, or you know, the end of that Premiership season. And he came to me and he said, look, I'm looking to produce a short, so 10-15 minutes on Newry City. And we did it up, I had it done by November. He showed it to a guy he knows in the British Film Institute, and who's no interest in football, he's looking at it from a purely cinematic perspective. And he said, I don't get it, where's the hook? Why don't you follow him for the season? So we went back to the club. Darren Mullen, the manager, was absolutely amazing with us. He says, yeah, whatever access you need, no problem. So followed them for the season. And we always say, if you look at, you know, if any of you listen to this, watch romantic comedies, and I really hope you don't, but there you go. If you haven't watched a romantic comedy, you have the basic story arc of two people, you know, they're starting to fall in love, and then halfway through the fallout and everything's going horribly wrong, and then at the end they get back together and all's right with the world. Basically, we had that precise story arc for Newry City. Started off the season going really well, round from about November, not about October to Christmas, to actually the first couple of weeks of January. Had a terrible run, don't think they won a game. In the midst of it, Darren's father sadly passed away, so you had that sort of sadness in the middle of it. And then from January on, went on something ridiculous, like a 16 game unbeaten run, and then won in the playoffs. So it was like the same principle. It worked out. If they hadn't got promoted, there's a distinct possibility the whole thing could have been canned. A year's work.
Because there's no ending to it then. No. There's no definitive, there's no payoff for the story.
Yeah. But it won awards, and were like, same as anything, you know, if you play a gig or you do a comedy show, or you look at it afterwards and people come up like, oh, that's great, that was brilliant. I wish I'd have done that, or I wish I'd have done this. You know, you'd want to change or maybe improve something. We look at it now and go, oh, we would have changed a whole lot of it, but it's of its time, and it was really successful, and it's definitely one of the best things we've ever done.
And if people want to watch it, they can do that where?
They can go, actually, as part of the club's centenary, the original club's Newry centenary celebrations in November, they put it up, we give it to them for free, and put it up on their YouTube, so it's Newry City AFC TV, you can go and watch it on. And just think of the poor people that, whenever you're watching for free, you know, on your phone or you're casting it to your TV, the poor people that didn't get paid for this.
That's why it's called the labour of love.
That's supposed to get paid for. Yeah, true.
But one of the big things that a lot of people don't know is probably something that sort of sets up that story arc is that we say Newry City, which Newry was made a city for the millennium, but the football team was Newry Town for nearly 100 years.
Newry Town until, I think it was 2004 that they eventually changed.
Yeah.
And then it was, so it's always been known as the town, and people still call it the town. So, and then obviously Newry City, and then 2012 the club went under, with financial issues, and we basically started from scratch. What was it, 5 leagues down?
Yeah.
4 promotions in 5 seasons as Newry City AFC. We wanted to keep the HMRC wouldn't let the club keep Newry City FC, so we changed, so we just stuck an A on it.
Yeah, Newry City Athletic.
Athletic Football Club, yeah. So it
But
yeah.
It was, who rescued it? Was it the fans?
It wasn't that it was rescued, it obviously.
Or restarted it.
Restarted. It was the fans, it was some of the biggest thing was that the club were able to keep the showgrounds, because it was under the trustees had it and it couldn't be touched. So that was a massive plus point. Basically, Darren Mullen, who's the current first team manager, I'm sure as everybody knows, it took it upon himself to sort of lead the way. Now, he had a lot of people with him, but led the way. You know, guys like Eric Wilson, Gary Wilson, Martin McLaughlin, who's the current chairman. So many people. I mean, you could rhyme off a list of people. And then from there on, it's just progressed. More people have got involved. More people have got behind the club. And, you know, it's still a long way to go. Obviously, that one season in the Premiership, which was amazing.
Yep.
The idea is that it wasn't just a great way to win season in the Premier League, let's pat ourselves on the back. So I think the idea is that, you know,
no, but look, that's David and Goliath stuff, that man. Whenever I was
amazing.
Like, I work up on the Lisbon Road, and sometimes just for the hell of it, Linfield phone up and order lunch for the whole team. That's the money you're competing against, like.
Yeah.
And that's just random Tuesday, we'll just blow 200 quid here to feed the boys after one training session. Yeah, we don't have that here.
No, that's it. I mean, there'll always be a small club in name, I suppose. In comparison to the likes of your Linfields and your Glentorans, I suppose. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with having realistic ambitions, and that's what they do. And I know, like, Darren personally, I've grown probably pretty close to them over the last sort of 4 or 5 years through dealing with them through the paper, but obviously being a supporter and just on a personal level.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's seriously ambitious. His work ethic is phenomenal. So, you know, you've obviously got to know him over the last couple of years, like, and you know, he knows what he's at. So.
Yeah, if you go to my Instagram, Darren Matthews Comedy, and you go back about a year, there's photos of me. Darren gifted me a Nuri top to take with me on tour.
Yeah.
So I made sure that wherever I went, I would take the top with me in my backpack. And then if I was going to be anywhere interesting or cool, I'd put the top on me.
Yeah.
So there's photos of me wearing that in, like, Vietnam, in Singapore, like on top of the Mirage Hotel, that big boat thing in Singapore. There's a photo of me up there having a beer in my Nuri top.
Class.
So I did that. So I was like, this is going to be the best travel Nuri top. It's been to New Zealand. It's been all over the
world. Without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. Absolutely no doubt that's the case.
Exactly. So that was good. Okay. And Darren was nice enough to give me that. He says, look, I have this idea. I'm going on tour. I'd like to take this away with me. And then it was cool because the club were really nice. And I was putting it on my Twitter being like, I'm in Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. And they'd retweet it being like, there's the fan far away.
Yeah.
Which is really nice because it's nice to be inclusive of the club in your town kind of thing.
That's it. I mean, that's probably the one criticism that the club had. Over, you know, certainly back in the 80s, maybe when I started supporting them, there were majority local players and massive support, and there was massive support at all the grounds then, which was probably surprising because it was right in the midst of the troubles.
Yeah.
But now, you know, probably from about 2002 for that intervening sort of 7 or 8 years, there's a lot of players came from all over the place. Now, quite honestly, if there's 11 players from Timbuktu playing for Nuri and they give everything in Nuri shirt, then it doesn't bother me.
Yep.
It doesn't bother most fans. I do understand, though, people around the town be a bit reticent to go down and support them if they don't, you know, don't recognise the players. One thing Darren did when he came in as assistant manager, or reserves manager, sorry, in 2011, was he brought in the likes of Daniel Hughes, Stephen Hughes, Mark Hughes, all those, Decky Carville, all those sort of boys. They've obviously gone to different clubs and then come back. The main sort of hub of the first team is our local guys, and certainly the furthest, you know, you're going maybe Dundalk and things like that, which is still kind of local, you know what I mean? There's a couple of boys from up the country and things, but, you know, he's made a real effort to keep that.
I think one of the brilliant things as well about Nuri, was something we discussed before ourselves, was if you go to different areas around Northern Ireland where the league plays, and people will be like, oh, that team's in that area, that team's in that part of town, and then but we're here in Nuri, and it's one of the truly mixed clubs.
Yeah, that's one of the things that...
That's something to be very proud of, especially in the bad old days. Nuri never sort of allowed themselves into that.
Yeah, it's one of the things personally I'm most proud of as a supporter because, you know, I come from one persuasion of the community, although it doesn't matter at all to me. And we have mixed supporters, mixed committee members, mixed team, mixed everything. There's no sign of sectarianism or anything.
Well, sectarianism has no place in sport anyway.
There's no place in society, full stop.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it seems to sport, certainly more so back in the day, less so in the last maybe 10, 12 years, it gave it a vehicle, you know, for people to express their sort of their bigotry.
Yeah.
But you never saw that from Nuri supporters. You never would see that from Nuri supporters. And that's exactly what you say. I mean, you can look at Linfield, and you understand sort of what side of the community they're on. Cliftonville being on the other side of the community. Nuri, yes, it's a predominantly nationalist town. But from the terms of the football club, it's as mixed as you can get. And I think that's really good. That's a real... I think it's sort of just a reflection of the people down there. It's you don't bring down flags unless they're blue and white.
Yeah.
End of story. The club colours, that's it. You know?
No, it's pretty good to have.
Yeah.
So what... I mean, going forward, would you ever think of extending onto the documentary? Would you ever do anything more? Are you going to go back and look into the book again?
The book is something the book is something that it would possibly do.
You need time to do it though, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and it needs
There's
to be
a
done.
A lot of research.
Yeah, and it'll be a big undertaking. But yeah, it's something they might look into, you know. We'll see how it goes. In terms of another documentary, well, like, to be quite honest, Ali's just got far too big for his boots these days, and he's just, you know, he's a big celebrity producer now. So
I know.
He wouldn't want to come down and work with a minion like me, you know.
Local lad gets successful, what a bastard.
Yeah. No, he's that was sarcasm for anybody that didn't pick up on that.
If you're not from the town, people that we actually really respect and love would just be like, what a bitch.
Yeah. No, like, put it this way, if Ali, anybody doesn't know Ali, just check out his work, Sideline Films and stuff. He's actually doing a show. He's produced, assistant producer on a show at the minute called The Search.
So it's very good.
BBC. He's filmed like entirely the next two episodes that are coming up next week and the week after. He's done loads of boxing stuff and boxing promos. He's a seriously talented guy, and his work ethic is just ridiculous. If Ali asked me to do anything with him, and it suited time wise, absolutely didn't matter what it was. I mean, he's literally that good, and he's great to work with. So if he wanted to do another Nuri documentary, you ask him whenever he comes on. And
okay,
this
could be the tie-in.
He said McCullough's up for it, but you know, we'll obviously have to get you know, probably maybe get Amazon on board or something, or Netflix. Guaranteed Netflix. You know, just
here, Netflix made a documentary about what? Sunderland, was it?
Yeah.
Sure, who watches Sunderland for God's sake?
Probably more than watching Yuri, let's be honest. But it was that was comedy, yeah.
That was a documentary about an absolute tragedy. Mm-hmm. Where it was you talk about a romantic comedy, that was a full on tragedy.
It was, yeah. I would love to do something. People did ask us, you know, whenever obviously Yuri went, they got promoted, that was from the Premier Intermediate League of the Championship, and then they got promoted the following season after the documentary to the Premiership, which would have been again absolutely perfect, but it just didn't suit time wise, and you're sort of thinking at that point, going, well, it would need to get promoted this next season for us to do this. And let's be quite honest, nobody thought Newry were going to get promoted to the Premiership straight away. So time frames and that put us off it, but you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and we probably should have done it.
Well, I mean, that's great, because it leads me into my next point, something that you and I often talk about, which is, so like, promotion of sport, making Newry good, getting the place up and running, and the sport's a great place to start, because like, when Down playing Park Astley, the town's packed. When Newry play, there's people in, actually in around the town. But one of the things, obviously, the background I come from, which is music and I've nearly said the arts there. No, that's not what I do. technically speaking,
it is, but you're making yourself sound a lot more highbrow.
Exactly, just not funded, I suppose. Yeah, but I initially met you because when I was a little teenage punk rocker, I sort of think people had a bit of an opinion of the town where if you weren't going to the three places you could go to on a Saturday, there was nothing for you.
Yeah,
and I certainly felt growing up that there was not much for me here. So I ended up joining bands, and I was like, but where is live music here? And then they were like, oh, you can go see a cover band. I'm like, no, not a cover band. Who writes and produces original content?
Yeah.
And then thankfully at that time there was lots of bands, which sort of, maybe it just grew out of what I was or sort of stepped into already, that was already on its way up. I just tried to help.
Yeah.
But when people, like, we're the third biggest city in Northern Ireland, people complain that there's nothing to do, I'm like, well, put something on.
Yeah.
So we talked about this before where, and I've said it on stage at the Biggest Wee Comedy Club up in McCooey's, I've said, you're not allowed to say that the place is shit unless you've done something to try and make it better.
Fair enough, yeah.
And Lord knows I've done a lot to try and
You definitely have. That's one thing you can definitely think of. Like, as you say, we met through your putting on gigs and contacting me and being proactive, which is the key thing. You were proactive from a young age.
17 was my first gig.
Yeah, in terms of putting on gigs, in terms of going, okay, well, what do I want to do? And I know there's a group of people thinking along the same lines as me, but they have nothing to do. So rather than, there's a real thing about, I'm sure it happens in other places, but there's a real thing about Newry, particularly, where it's like, there's nothing happening here, so what do you do? We go, well, get off your backside and do it yourself, which is, to be fair, is what you did. Weirdly, like, I mean, it had a great scene for a few years, and then you had like a crossroad most here, you had Riff Raff Rooms, which, you know, DJs, you had a bit of live music and stuff like that, and it gave people, not necessarily in terms of, you know, live original bands, there wasn't a whole lot of gigs, but it gave people of that sort of generation, if you like, or that sort of scene, to come together and chat to like-minded people. There's nothing around us, I mean, there isn't anything really, if you want to go and see a cover band, yeah, you're no problem, knock yourself out. You'll see them every day of the week. I really wish our council have a responsibility as well. We've got an arts centre there, which is, you know, rarely used. I know they're talking about building a civic centre and stuff, and I really hope that there are opportunities for, you know, not the likes of you or me or, you know, but younger kids coming through to actually give themselves an opportunity. Because, I mean, do we want to have somebody that, you know, feels they have to go to London to, you know, to realise their dreams is to be a musician? Or, you know, you have the OEA Centre in Belfast, which has made a massive difference to a lot of bands, and they've still kept their scene going and contributed to a lot of success. I mean, and it's not even about success or commercial success or selling a load of something, go completely against your punk ethos. But actually giving people a platform, and there isn't a platform around this area, I'm afraid.
Well, I just said if there's more happening, it lets more people see it, and then they think, well, I should give that a go. I'd like to do that. That's what got me into I wasn't even really into music properly until I was like 16, and then a guy I worked with was just like, here's a pile of CDs, listen to this.
Yeah.
And it just changed my life.
Well, it's I mean, and
like 2 weeks later, I think I bought a drum kit.
There you go.
You know, kind of way. So that was just my initial.
So it starts.
That's the spark.
And it's like, you know, you've gone away and seen half the world, and, you know, performed there, you know, in terms of the comedy and seen how other places do it. And places that might be a different country, but they're no bigger or no better necessarily than what Newry could be.
Definitely not.
You know what I mean? What you're doing with the comedy club, and I know Leanne McCoy is going to listen to this and go, you haven't been down to a comedy club yet, because every night you put one on, I have something on. But I will get there.
It's fine, because I keep selling it, so we don't need you, McCullough.
Oh yeah. if it got to the stage where you ever needed me, then I would just close the doors and say, if you need me, then you're in serious difficulties. But that's right. But things like that, where anybody I've spoken to loves it, because they wouldn't necessarily have thought about it beforehand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until it's not a case of you need to see if the demand's there before you go and do it. It's a case of build it and they will come.
Oh well, we just put it on. We talked about this at Christmas. Leanne was happy enough to help me after another sort of thing fell through, and it's just kicked on great.
Brilliant.
But from that, we're now building to a point where I did an interview like 2 or 3 years ago when I was home, mm-hmm. and I said, we need to put a culture of comedy into Newry, which is like, you need to trust me that if you see my name in the poster or you see that I've put something on, doesn't matter who it says on, you know it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be looking for recognisable names. Trust me that I've gone out and gigged all around the country and met all these people, and I'm bringing them back to Newry.
Yeah.
But all the comics that have come down are, it's gotten to a point now, like Sean Hegarty's mm-hmm. selling out shows at Belfast. He's just started as a DJ on Q Radio.
Yep.
He came and did some new stuff the other night at the last gig, and then he went and did Leanne and said, can I put on my own show here? And I was like, brilliant, that's what we want.
Yeah.
I want more stuff happening, and somebody's came to me already. I'm currently knocking up a proposal for maybe a mini comedy festival.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's the epitome of, as I said, build it and they'll come. If you start something, you know, to use another cliche from
Wayne's World 2.
Field of Dreams. What was it, little seeds to great acorns grow or something like that? You know, it's basically, if you give people, people don't know what they want until you give it to them.
Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? If you actually go, well, God, this is quite unique, because you're doing it, and you say that the biggest wee comedy night, and it's in a small venue, and you can bring your own beer or whatever, and it's right in the middle of Newry. You go, what more do you want?
Yeah, but like, I like to joke about it with the crowd. Whenever I always introduce it and say, congratulations, everybody, you're the 50 people that are into the arts in Newry. And I had to convince you to come here because I let you bring your own drink. so we certainly want to promote more, but I do recognise, I'm like, let's keep it Newry.
Yeah.
Let's embrace the thing that people give us grief about.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, you know what? We're just a wee town, but we're gonna have a go.
Oh,
I
have to.
And I like that, because I like the underdog stuff.
You have to be able to, if you can't take the piss out of yourself, like, or
there's one thing I'm good at, is taking the piss out of yourself.
That's good. You know, generally you're good at taking the piss out of other people too, but you know, you need to be able to take the piss out of yourself as well.
I know, but I need audiences to see that, so I'll make fun of myself first. yeah. to let them know that it's only a bit of a laugh. I'm not being mean. I don't punch down, that kind of thing. So, but we have, that's sort of where we're going forward. So it's that, but I mean, like, you did the same. You guys, like, were organising the nights. You were DJing the same time as I was in the Riff Raff Rooms.
Yeah.
And it was nice to be part of that.
Yeah.
And I did a podcast with Gino Lynch, who does the Taxi Joe series, which is based here in Newry. And we talked about the fact that it's really weird because for a time where we think that not much happens, I know so many talented people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're off doing it everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's nearly, the old school days where you had like arts collectives, if you know what I mean. You had different people from different genres, musicians, comedians, actors, whatever it may be. You know, obviously, it's a lot easier to sit in your bedroom or as we're sitting here now and record a podcast, which is good, which is a good thing because it makes it more, makes yourself more accessible to other people. But yeah, like, I mean, the likes of Gino and Hugh Phelan, absolutely amazing. People that Ali have worked with as well. Ali himself, was doing massive things. The likes of, Jamie Rafferty and the boys that ran Riff Raff Rooms, and Jamie's running the events up in Narrow Water now. It's a slightly bigger scale. But there are opportunities there, but you just wish, what we need in this town, and this is probably from a music fan's point of view, is a dedicated gig venue where you can host music, you can have comedy nights, you can have plays, you can do your pantomimes if you really want to.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. It's a dedicated gig venue. People say a town hall, you want somewhere, I'm not saying you want somewhere that's down and dirty, but you want somewhere that's a bit more gig-like, a bit more, like the limelight and stuff,
Well, like a theatre space, but what can be sort of, I know what you mean, we need somewhere, I don't want it to be too clean cut, but I want it to be able to host anything.
Exactly.
So that's the thing, but I had this discussion before, because as you said, you talk about the council having a responsibility to the community. The council's mostly moved up to Downpatrick now anyway.
Well, yeah.
And the other thing is as well, I'm pretty sure there's bound to be like some sort of dedicated entertainment officer. Somebody has to do something for culture night and all that kind of stuff, which I'm yet to see. But I went over, this was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I came up with the idea. I thought, right, we have an art centre. I have access to bigger comedians who would probably come and do a show for me for a favour at a bit of a cheaper rate than what they would get if they were booked by a national tour. So I was just like, right, I might be pulling some strings. But whenever I went to try and organise it, I was pretty much priced out.
Mm. Yeah, that's...
That kind of way, I was like, well, I can't do this without charging 25 quid a ticket, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I can't run anything that needs more than like 60% of... It came down to the business side of things versus what I want to do.
Yeah.
And sadly, business won. I'm like, I really want to do this, but I can't have it cost me 500 quid.
No, you would like to think in the first instance that, the powers that be would have, the wherewithal to go, okay, right, well, this could potentially bring X amount of people into our area that would spend X amount of money. We'll invest a small, you're not talking about astronomical figures here, but invest a small amount into it, see how it goes, and say to you, look, this is your test run, this is your pilot run. It would be successful on some level, hopefully, I'm sure it would be very successful. Then you can go, okay, right, that obviously then attracts sponsors, it attracts more investment, it attracts more people down. If you set your prices at 25 quid, as you were saying there, that automatically turns people off.
Of course.
So if you set your prices at even 10 or 15 quid for, whatever it is, 2-3 nights of comedy or whatever, it's more accessible to people and it's more appealing to people. It's like when people, shops sell something at 9.99 instead of a tenner.
Yeah.
It's a psychological thing.
Yeah, I would like to do everything for probably under 20 quid. Because if you can get into like a really good quality event for less than a round of drink, I think that's good.
That's true.
But I want to be able to price that.
How many people are in the round though?
That's true as well. I'm not talking a stack. No, I'd be a kitty then. And see, once you get over a certain amount, if you're not doing a kitty, you're nuts.
And how I can't remember the last time you bought me a drink, to be honest. So there you go.
Wait, hang on. I give you a lot of free drink over the years. Knock it off.
No, that's to say, I can't remember the last time you bought me a drink.
Oh, exactly. Right, well, I'll organise that.
No, right. But yeah, I think there is an onus on the talent is here. There's an onus on, rather than them just having to do it themselves, you want to base things in your area and you want your area to be successful, as much as we all take the mickey and all the rest of it.
But it's so weird because I'm from here and I don't live here. I live in Belfast and I've been around the world and I've done this in different countries. So I don't know what my mental illness is where I'm like, I want something here.
Mm.
But I think it might be that I want a better opportunity, as you say, for younger people.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want just to have to do it yourself. No. I want something in place
yeah.
that you can walk into and then it becomes, it yeah. just sort of snowballs and keeps going.
No, I think there's definitely an onus on people to say on the people with are holding the purse strings and that can actually, you know, access the funding and can look at venues and go, you know what, this would make a big difference this time. What's going to happen is that the new civic centre is going to be built and that's what they'll say, you know, that events will be hosted there. But then, you know, I don't think it's going to end up being like, say, like the Ard Owen in Enniskillen, yeah. you know, which has a great reputation. You know, so I think
the Marketplace Theatre in Armagh is the benchmark for
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
A well organized, funded theatre that in a town, what, a third of the size in Uri,
mm-hmm. yeah.
has events on like a Wednesday night, Tuesday night, plays, ballet for God's sake, opera, stuff mm-hmm. you'd never think to go to. But if it was on, I'd go like, I'll give that a go.
Yeah.
They had a brilliant initiative in Belfast a few years ago called Try the Arts.
Right.
Where if say it was £20 to go to this gig, if you had the Try the Arts code, you could go to it for a fiver. Just give it a go. Go watch a ballet. Maybe you'll like it.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. And I would love something like that to happen here.
Yep.
But I'm like, I need a bit of funding to cover costs. And I can say, come on down to this. It'll be a fiver in instead of £15. Yep. And just let me know what you think. And if you've enjoyed it, you'll come back again.
Yeah, and word of mouth. Those people go back and tell other people. And then yeah. You know, it's common sense. But, you know, common sense doesn't always prevail.
Right, but I mean, I know this podcast has been very Newry centric, but I'm hopefully there'll be people listening to this in all sorts of regional towns. So mm-hmm. this is the kind of stuff you can do, and yep. this is the kind of stuff that you should be pushing for. So hopefully, well, I mean, later I'm home now. I've run out of visas, so I've nowhere to run. So hopefully there'll be more happening.
If you're not careful, you'll run out of your visa for Newry or Bestwick.
I know, they won't let me back home again. I'll see, but no, I don't know, where do we go from here? It's we'll see what 2020 holds. There are plans, but whether they happen or not is what annoys me is they're dependent on other people. Because when it's just me,
yeah,
it's fine. Because I'm like, right, I can control this or I can organize this. But once I have to start working with other people, it becomes difficult for me because I've been such a solo act for so long.
And the people you were touching on there, the people that you hopefully be listening to this maybe in other regional towns. If you are listening to this and you have, you know, your own sort of dedicated venue, like a couple of ones I've mentioned, and how has that been funded? How have they managed to get, you know, decent acts playing there? Let us know what the best way is to go about it. Do you know what I mean? Or let you know more specifically, and then, you know, you can actually, you know, go, well, this worked. You can literally show people an example of this is how this worked in
yeah.
Omagh or Enniskillen or whoever it may be, Derry, and then say, well, look, why don't we have something here? We're perfectly placed. It actually says, I think, on the billboard at the bottom of the Dublin Road, Newry, perfectly placed.
Yeah, we are 40 minutes from Belfast and an hour from Dublin.
So if you're using that as a tagline, well, perfectly placed, that's great. Perfectly placed for shopping, without a doubt.
Yeah. Put your money into a major corporation that does their tax in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But perfectly placed for entertainment, sadly not, no.
Right, well, I mean, that's something we'll look into. And I mean, you're the local journalist, man, so I know you're the sports editor, but we're going to have to start annoying somebody about writing up on this kind of stuff.
At the end of the day, as I said, we're going to be starting up our I don't like calling it an entertainment page, but that's what it's going to be. It'll encompass music, comedy, the arts, and vertical commons. So that's something that we're definitely going to look at, because, you know, at the end of the day, we, as I'm sure anybody that sees our paper knows, that our editor in particular holds the council accountable for, it's the public's money that they're spending. So if there's enough of a drive from people in this area to have an arts venue or a proper, you know, like, again, we're not talking the arts centre, the town hall, a proper venue or a proper festival, then it can be costed, and if it works, it works, brilliant. And then you can still, you'd be surprised actually the influence the paper can have,
yeah,
in terms of trying to push these things. But there needs to be, the people need to come out and voice their opinions.
Yeah. So also, if you see something's on, go to it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be complaining. Nothing ever happens, and then not going to it when it's put on for you.
Correct, right. That's the key. Says me, this still hasn't been the biggest week comedy club yet.
You're a very busy man going to watch Down and have pints in Tipperary.
I know. It's such a stress.
That ties back, lovely. Gareth, thank you very much for coming on the podcast, man.
No problem, appreciate it. Hope I wasn't too overly serious for the listeners.
No, that's fine. You know what? It's really weird because it's not really a comedy podcast. There's bits of humour in it, but it's very much more so I always just want to talk to people. And thankfully, in these episodes, I know lots of lovely, interesting people with kind of weird and quirky jobs or different bits and pieces. Yeah. So the point is, I want people to listen in and maybe learn something about something you knew nothing about. So that's part of the fun. So thanks for coming on and talking about the journalism, talking about the sports stuff, and talking about your beloved Newry Town. And then hopefully we'll see what happens with a bit more entertainment in the local area.
No problem. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
No problem. Gareth, say bye, Gareth.
Bye, Gareth.
You're the first person that's got that right. Legend. Thanks, man. All right, guys. As always, like, share, and subscribe. And we will be back soon. Take care and thank you for listening.